You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. We've made it through another very slow week in the news. And we have now been able to chalk up a few Brewers wins after a rough start to the beginning of the season. We're also celebrating the women's NCAA Final Four. Two games kicking off this evening, so I could think of no better guest for this particular show in this particular moment than the chief operating officer of the Milwaukee Brewers, a woman who has made history in sport in her own right, to help celebrate one of my absolute favorite sports team ever, the Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to do some ticket giveaways after my interview with Miss Ronsky this afternoon for the Brewers game on the 19th versus this, that's versus the A's. Of course, the Brewers kicking it off this evening at 7:10, first pitch against the Cincinnati Reds. We're now 3-4 for the good guys on the season, on the upswing. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Marty Ronsky. I really appreciate you making time.
Oh, Maggie, thanks so much for having me. You got me all kinds of choked up and jittered and then excited there in that intro. So thank you.
So much going on with the crew. Your position is the chief operating officer. For people who might not know, we know what GMs do, right? But COOs and folks that run operations within major league sports teams, sometimes that's a little vague for people. And it's not just the business of the team. You handle all sorts of matters for the Brewers. Tell people what your job is, what your day-to-day looks like.
Oh boy. I'm not sure there is a day to day. And I think I get teased. You know, I started at the Brewers. I've been there 22 years and I started as our general counsel. And I get teased that, you know, I went from one amorphous title to another just so I can kind of make up and do whatever I want to do. But it doesn't quite work that way. So I would say this, Maggie. In general, I oversee Rick Schlesinger, our president, and I sort of oversee in a split two sides of the business. He's got some departments that report up to him, I have departments that report up to me. I have legal, HR, IT, business strategy and analytics and marketing, and then sort of what I would say an umbrella to how we operate, how we're efficient, how we operate cross-functionally, cross-departmentally in order to ensure that, you know, as you can imagine, in a business that's sort of, I would say, as broad as ours can be, it's really not uncommon for the right hand to not be talking directly to the left, right? And so a lot of making sure that the hands are together, that's on me. And I love it. I have, you know, really only been dug into the role for about the past year. It gets more interesting and exciting every day. But it's pretty vague.
Which is one of the fun parts about the job, both as a general counsel. I am a GC. I have been a GC. Often lawyers get pegged to do the COO roles, plucked out of GC roles, because you have to have sight lines on everything as an attorney. You have to do that as a COO as well. Marty, if folks don't know you, you're from Neenah. You're a St. Norbert graduate, UW Law School, homegrown and history making as a woman. As far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, I know that Kim Ng was GM at the Marlins before we had Caroline O'Connor, who's still president of business ops for the Marlins as well. But I believe you're the only female COO in Major League Baseball. Am I getting that right?
Well, close. I was the first, and just a short time ago. What makes me so happy about the fact that you're just a little bit wrong there is
yes.
that we actually have one other now.
Good.
Shortly after I was made COO, another club went ahead at the Padres and made the move. They too have a female COO. Her role's a little different than mine. To be honest with you, every organization's a little different. But we got two. We're working our way up there, Maggie.
I love that you have to correct me about that. It's wonderful to see women in those executive leadership positions, especially in increasing numbers across all of our four major sports franchises here in the United States. I also wanted to start by congratulating you and the Brewers for getting the lease deal done right at the end of 2024 to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee through 2050. Congratulations on that. What was that experience like? Can you tell people a little bit about the complexities here? It's timely, of course, because Congressman Glenn Grothman is introducing legislation to basically prevent taxpayers from investing in major league sports franchises through stadiums. I explain to people all the time as an economist, listen, this is a finite supply industry. And because of that, sports franchises, major league franchises have choice. And because they have the commodity that we want and because of the economic engine that so many of these franchises provide, not just in the immediate community, but for example, in the state of Wisconsin, the Brewers throughout the state. Talk to us, if you can, a little bit about why it's so important, not just for Milwaukee, but whatever angle you want to take on that question, Marty, and a little bit about the process to get this deal done to keep you all here through 2050.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll start the response by just a huge, huge thank you to the state, to, it had been a long time since we had seen a bipartisan measure taken in the state of Wisconsin, and we saw it here. And I would say that, you know, Rick and I had a set of goals as we went into the process. That was a big one. We really were hopeful that we could do this in a bipartisan way. You know, I mentioned before that I received the title COO a few years ago, but have really only spent a year in it. And it's because Rick and I were working predominantly on this legislation. And not sure we anticipated when we started 4+ years ago, frankly, working on it and really trying to bring people together around the topic and helping people understand early on why, to your point, exact point, Maggie, why having the Milwaukee Brewers in the state of Wisconsin matters not just for our business, but for the state in terms of attracting future talent to the state, not just in baseball, but in every industry, in terms of, you know, we are, by every measure, the Milwaukee Brewers are the smallest market in baseball, right? Are in the smallest market. We are a tiny market. And the fact that we managed to have professional sports teams in this state, we managed to have the absolute best, most incredible fans. It'll put them up against anyone's fans anywhere in the country. The fact that we have those bases here and we continue to thrive in these spaces is really nearly inexplicable. And it's something that, you know, people brush off and think, the rich getting richer. I'll be honest. Having a baseball team in the state of Wisconsin, you know, this has been said, it's real, is not the most lucrative place that you could have. And people are like, what do you mean, Marty? That doesn't make sense to me. Here's what it's about, right? It's about that market size. It's about the small market, Maggie. And, you know, the number of eyeballs we have in the state of Wisconsin are not the number of eyeballs that exist in the state of New York or the state of California, right? Pure and simple, which means having a business here is not as lucrative. TV's not willing to pay us as much. Sponsors aren't willing to pay the club as much. But darn it, we have managed to thrive, award-winning club year after yes. year after year in the very top five, top 10 in terms of attendance, food, revenue. How about the production on the field, right? Making the playoffs over and over, 6 of the last 7 years. Those kinds of accomplishments in this state, yeah, they're fantastic for the Milwaukee Brewers. But what they do for the city of Milwaukee, the county of Milwaukee, in this state, you know, there's a report out there. You can find it if you jump online. It'll give you all the specific numbers. But the amount of money brought into the state by this ball club, the number of jobs provided by this ball club, the reach of our employee base,
yes,
our opportunities, they are unmatched. And so, look, we can make the topic political. I'd rather not, right, in the state. But the reality is the state of Wisconsin came together around, they understood generally speaking, what we were trying to accomplish, what the Milwaukee Brewers is about, and we got there. The Milwaukee Brewers are going to be in Milwaukee, in the state of Wisconsin through 2050, and there's really, frankly, nothing that makes us happier.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, and this is one of those topics, again, it was a bipartisan piece of legislation. I was still the general counsel at Milwaukee County when a lot of those talks were happening. So, again, congratulations, not just to you, but the governor, Mayor Johnson, County Executive Crawley, right, and Speaker Voss as well. It took everybody to come together.
Right.
And the ROI on the taxpayers' investment in Wisconsin and the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County on the investments of tax dollars is demonstrable. It is real ROI. It is an economic engine. You mentioned, and I wanted to ask you this question because there's been a lot of tumult over the TV rights. We had Diamond Sports go bankrupt now, Brewers broadcasting through FanDuel. There's been some talk around Major League Baseball about, hey, letting teams like the Brewers self-produce, have their own TV rights to put that out there. How does that work? Is that a good idea? Will it help? Because, again, the eyeballs that can be generated by teams, whether we're talking about the Yanks and the Cubs that literally have their own dedicated networks, the huge deals that the Dodgers just cut with Spectrum, is that a good idea for the Brewers and other small market teams that just can't muster up a payroll of, you know, this week the AP coming out, Mets, $322 million. We're never going to be playing in that size pond.
Yeah, exactly, Maggie. And I guess I would say this. The TV situation is evolving constantly. It's moving. It's taking a completely different direction. Baseball as a sport has been an outlier in the way our TV deals are structured for some time. And that's not a secret to anyone. And it's really, we're all taking a look at it really long and hard to make sure we figure out as a league the best way to move forward, the best process for the sport in terms of longevity. Now, I will say this. For us in the immediate, we care deeply about our fans being able to access our product, no matter where they are. We've struggled in the past years with, you know, some of our partners in that way. You know, we've had limited visibility. There was very limited percentage of our fan base that were able to see our games. We have to change that, and that's what we're working on doing.
Folks, we got Marty Ronsky, COO of the Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to talk maybe a little less baseball business when we come back on the other side, and more about what you can expect from the Brewers this season. We're going to honor Bob Uecker. We're going to have more fun. So much going on with Marty. You're not going to want to go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Happy Friday, everybody.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Ball lined out at short. He throws. It's over. The Brewers have won the American League pennant. Milwaukee, you have a World Series. Thousands of people streaming onto the field at County Stadium. It is absolute pandemonium.
That one will always choke me up, ladies and gentlemen. That was Bob Uecker's 1982 call when the Brewers won the American League pennant and headed off to the World Series for an absolute heartbreaker. That World Series, in my opinion, came down to one single missed strike call, but that's a topic for a whole nother day. Folks, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Maggie Dawn. If you've been listening to me, you know I am an insanely huge Brewers fan. Always have been, always will be, a homer through and through. We got a fabulous guest for this Friday afternoon program. We got Marty Ronsky, COO of the Milwaukee Brewers. Marty, I have only known the Brewers with Bob Uecker my entire life. You as well. What has it been like to both honor Mr. Uecker's legacy in so many amazing ways, so many different tributes, like big props to Yelly for the plaid suit on opening day, right? Like, what's it like to both honor him and miss him, to feel that loss with the season starting?
Yeah, you know, Maggie, it is. You're right. I mean, literally, Uke has been with the Milwaukee Brewers since before I was born, and I'm not young. So, you know, it is to say he's a legend, to say that, you know, all the things we all know about him, he had a way. He was one of the most incredible human beings, and someone that may we all hold him out to our children as role models, because he was the kindest individual you'll ever meet. Somebody said the other day that if you were with Bob for a day and having a bad day, you were working really hard to have a bad day. That man, you know, was hilarious, but he was also the most, he just knew things. To honor him has been such a privilege, frankly. So devastating at some points. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, so I've been around 22 years. What Bob did for me, I didn't realize it every single day, but it wasn't a secret. The first time I met Bob, I'd been with the club for about a month. And it was funny, I started in December. And for those who know the baseball cycle, I was brand new in December. I had two babies. You know, the baseball goes a little quiet for a few weeks in December, right around the holidays, because then spring training leaps up. But for spring training, tons of people head out and work from their spring training locations. So here I am at our office, like walking around like, are there any humans here? Like, what is going on? But somebody gave me a tour one of those days. And we went downstairs on our service level where the clubhouses are. And I met Bob. And I froze, like literally froze, right? I sort of stopped like, oh my gosh, we shouldn't be here. Like, you know, and I was being given a tour by somebody that we were totally where we could be.
You were legit.
And I guess we were legit. I was still learning I was legit. You know, it was a long time ago. And Bob looked at me and he's like, hey, kid, which I got to tell, like, he called me kid until the last time I saw him. And there are certain things from certain people
that are fine. Yes.
Well, and just amazing, frankly, yes. Better than fine. They were amazing. And because I knew what it meant. I knew where it came from. And because what always went together with that was, don't look that way. You belong here.
Yes.
Uke said that to me, even when I didn't belong in certain places, to be totally honest with you, Maggie, he'd be like, get in here. You belong here. And you know, when somebody says that to you enough times, right? And it was all different contexts. I'd be in a crowd of people and he'd, you know, nudge us up, right? Me, yep. Others, you know, we'd be in a room and he'd be like, don't sneak around back there. Get up here. You belong in here. But there would also be those big moments where he could see it in my eyes, even when I was as confident as I could be, where he'd say out of nowhere, you belong here, let's go. And I guess I will never, as long as I live, that is what he did for so many people. And for me, he had no idea, except that I told him endlessly, right, what that really meant and how often I went to that as, okay, kid, you belong here, like to myself, all that self-talk, right? But look, I don't know if people understand, when a player and players wear plaid because it reminds them of you, someone who, you know, yes, you were a player, but you are, you know, they loved Bob, those players. They loved him and love him in a way that you can't explain. But when Yelly did that, and when Yelly is, you know, out there talking about these things, you know, there's no better, bigger signal than how beloved he really is and was.
Yeah, I remember, Marty, and listening to you talk about Bob and every single woman who has been in places where you are one of very few and has enjoyed any modicum of success knows their Bob Uecker for that very thing that you're describing. Yes. It's like, don't be afraid. You earned it. You're here. Do your thing because you're deserving. That level of support, it cannot be overemphasized. And his self-deprecation is the stuff of legend. It's one of the things that made him such a legendary and unforgettable broadcaster. The Eucharisms, I mean, so many things.
I don't mean to interrupt. He is brilliant. Like, yes. He is so brilliant to be that kind, right? He was a player for so long. Then he was, you know, and a father and a family man. And then he was a movie star and a TV star. And then he decides that he's going to get into broadcasting. You know, it was literally like thrown in there. To be as funny as that man is, you are so brilliant, because it was moments. There's no notes. We talk all the time about how when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, he did not have notes with him. If you go listen to it,
yeah,
on
that
YouTube,
speech.
It is one of the most brilliant speeches. It will make you cry, especially now. But he's just the level of brilliance from this man who remained so humble and who loved this state.
Yes.
He didn't want to be somewhere else. He wasn't looking to go run with the big guys. He loved it here, and he knew he could make an impact here. And, you know, there's just something incredible about that. There is something that I will never, ever forget. And we've been so honored. His family has allowed us to celebrate him. We will have another large celebration of Bob's life at the end of August, where fans can buy tickets. We will announce that soon. We are so excited.
I will be there. Marty, will you please come back and talk more baseball business, the Brewers specifically, Bob Uecker's legacy, all that's going on? Frankly, I would usually try to see if I could get another segment out of you, but I don't want to over-assume and take too much of your time. You've got so much going on with the crew. I'm also very happy to remind you and all of our listeners that Civic Media has the most Brewers coverage statewide across 5 of our network stations out of Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and our newest affiliate in Hayward. I got to leave it there. Marty, thank you so much. Go Crew. We're going to give away some
tickets. Thank you, Maggie.
Next.
Go Brewers.
Go Brewers. Tune in tonight, 7:10. Go pick up some tickets and get some free tickets next. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A huge thank you to Marty Ronsky, COO of the Milwaukee Brewers Baseball Club, who joined us for the last half hour. If you missed it, not to worry. You can go check that interview out on Spotify, Apple Pods, anywhere that you get your podcasts, or by going to the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us. We've got all of our old shows there, so you can catch up with me. And I also want to share with you all, we are going to give away some Brewers tickets this half hour. We've got 4 of them, and it's with plenty of lead time. The game that we're giving away tickets for is on April 19th. It is, let me double check notes here, a 6:10 start time. We're going to give away the tickets in 2 sets of 2. And these are in the Civic Media lovely box. They're great seats. I've sat there myself. You got a great view of the field. Calvin and I are going to cook up some Brewers trivia. You can call in to win. And here's a bit of Brewers trivia, which I have to give a great big thank you to Greg, who's watching us on Facebook. You can always watch us if you don't like listening. We've got at Maggie Dawn Show on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Civic Media also has our own YouTube channel. Greg letting me know it wasn't Uecker who called that last bit of the ALCS game in 1982. It was Dwayne Mosley. Bob was already in the locker room for the post game for ABC. There was so much excitement in the voice that it could have been Uecker. It wasn't. I thank you, Greg. I will always take a live fact check on the air from you wonderful listeners, because it is always a conversation and hopefully a great one here at Civic Media. We're also all about real news. Wanted to share some breaking news with you that just came across the line while we were talking with Marty Ronsky. A judge has ordered the Trump administration to return to the United States a Maryland man who was mistakenly deported to El Salvador last month. Folks, the conflict between the courts and the Trump administration seems to be ramping up virtually daily. So watch this space. We'll have more coverage of that in the coming days as the Trump administration is forced to respond. Remember, this was the Maryland man who had a federal judge order that he not be deported. And the Trump administration deported him anyways. A man who's never been convicted of the crime. His only purported crime was having a tiger or a lion tattoo. I forget which one it was, which some unnamed confidential informant said meant this guy was in some gang and he was gone. Here one day, gone the next, no due process, even though the Constitution guarantees that to every single human being standing on American soil. So again, that judge ordering that that man be returned from El Salvador back to the United States. Let's keep in mind that the Trump administration, though they admitted on the record that the man was deported by accident, that calling it a clerical error, refused when contacted by the man's attorney, refused to do anything about it. And this includes over the period of time that Kristi Noem was actually standing in the very prison where this guy was being kept, talking to El Salvadorian officials. You think she could have been like, hey, there's a guy here, shouldn't be here, our mistake. Can you be sure to let him go? We'll just put him on the plane and take him back with us. Yeah, that didn't happen. Literally refused to lift a finger, claiming that since he's no longer in the U.S., not in on U.S. territory, on U.S. land, there was nothing they could do about it, despite the fact that El Salvador has been pretty willing to do whatever Donald Trump has asked of that country since he was sworn into office. Can you imagine if your brother, sister, a loved one, your child was all of a sudden disappeared by government officials and they admitted that they shouldn't have disappeared your loved one and then they said, we're not going to do a damn thing about it? Is that the way this is supposed to work? I ask you, what would you do? What if you didn't have any money for a lawyer? What if it wasn't a cause célèbre? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. That has been a story that I have been very deeply disturbed by since it broke last week. We'll talk more about it. I've been waiting for this court decision to sort of dig into it more deeply. So we'll cover more of that next week as, again, that story develops. What I wanted to spend a moment to talk about this afternoon as we get ready at 3 o'clock for another fine segment of Ask Maggie, where you can ask me anything you want, and my fabulous senior producer, Jamie, will put me on a timer. And I only have a wee bit of time to answer your questions. If you've got those questions, be sure to send them to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That email again is askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can always text or call them in as well, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. The Eric Adams case dismissal. You guys remember this? Led to basically a Sunday night massacre, a bunch of firings of DOJ officials, of assistant U.S. attorneys that refused to go along with Donald Trump's directive to Pam Bondi and his Department of Justice to dismiss what were extremely serious corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Remember the judge in that case said, I want briefing from the government and Eric Adams' defense attorneys about whether or not I should dismiss it. Do you remember that the government requested dismissal of those criminal charges without prejudice? Remember that? We talked about it on this show. I talked about it also with my colleague, Dom Salvia. And I pointed out that the without prejudice was a big deal, right? Because the DOJ argued, oh, listen, this was a bit of a quid pro quo here with Eric Adams. He's going to help us implement Donald Trump's immigration deportation directives. And in exchange, we'll dismiss these charges. But we're going to do it without prejudice so we can bring these charges again if he doesn't cooperate. That's called extortion. I could argue that that's what Donald Trump's been doing with all these law firms and the executive orders directed at law firms. The brand of the Trump administration is extortion. Play ball, pardon the pun with me, or I will punish you. It's his tariff policy. It's extortion. But it was very specific in the case of Eric Adams' case dismissal. The judge went so far as to request that Paul Clement, a former Solicitor General, a Federalist Society member, a conservative of the highest order, actually provide additional objective briefing to the court about whether he should dismiss the case and whether, if he dismisses it, it should be dismissed with or without prejudice. Well, that judge finally came to a conclusion and ordered that dismissal of the case this week. But here's the rub. The judge didn't dismiss the case without prejudice, which, in my opinion, is in part a loss for the citizens of the city of New York. Eric Adams cannot be prosecuted again for those very criminal acts that he was, or alleged criminal acts that he was charged with. And again, they're significant. It's basically taking bribes, kickback scheme, it's government corruption. Citizens of New York will be harmed by Donald Trump extorting Eric Adams and requiring his DOJ to dismiss those charges. Again, led to firings of people who wouldn't cooperate, resignations from others. What the judge did here, however, was dismiss Eric Adams' charges with prejudice. With prejudice. Now, to the degree that it is potentially a loss of accountability for the citizens of the city of New York, what the judge was also saying to the Donald Trump administration is, you will not use my courtroom and this case to engage in extortion. You're not going to hold an anvil or an axe over Eric Adams' head so that you can co-opt the resources of the city of New York to execute what some courts to date have concluded are unconstitutional deportation policies, like the court that just minutes ago said to Donald Trump and his administration, you got to bring that man back that you never should have deported. And what's important is that the judge recognized exactly what was going on. And I want to read a little bit from the judge's decision, because he gets it just right. This is U.S. District Judge Dale Ho writing this week in his order to dismiss the criminal corruption charges against City of New York Mayor Eric Adams. Here's what he writes. Taking a step back from the particulars of this case, the DOJ's immigration enforcement rationale is both unprecedented and breathtaking in its sweep. The DOJ cites no example, and the court is unable to find any, of the government dismissing charges against an elected official because doing so would enable the official to facilitate federal policy goals. And DOJ's assertion that it has virtually unreviewable license to dismiss charges on this basis is disturbing in its breadth, implying that public officials may receive special dispensation if they are compliant with an incumbent administration's policy priorities. That suggestion is fundamentally incompatible with the basic promise of equal justice under the law. To the extent that the government may be seeking to extract policy concessions from the mayor, dismissal with prejudice rather than continuation of the prosecution best addresses that concern. It ensures that going forward, the charges in the indictment cannot be used as leverage over Mayor Adams or the city of New York. The federal judge, a sitting federal judge, just wrote exactly what I explained to you. It's fancy language, but what that federal judge said was, Donald Trump, you're extorting Mayor Eric Adams, and you're not going to do it in my court. these charges will be dismissed with prejudice. And he did so, and in other portions of that decision said, listen, I don't think the dismissal should happen, but I can't force the DOJ to prosecute. How would I do that? That is a historic moment. A federal sitting judge basically just told the Trump administration, you are engaging in extortion. And I think that that decision by Judge Ho should serve as an example to other federal Article III judges about how you deal with an extortionist mob boss who happens to be sitting in the Oval Office, where there's a Supreme Court who said he can order the murder of political enemies and you can't touch him. We're going to continue this discussion when we get back on the other side. If you want to join me, you got questions or comments, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You're going to want to keep it locked, because I might do a little review of exactly Donald Trump's checkered business history. Because the idea that this guy knows lots about economics is just hogwash. I break it all down next. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're all having a good one. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Folks, it looks like the Donald Trump tariff terror is going to drive the stock markets down another 5% today. So, you know, things going well overall. Liberation Day. I'm going to call it Recession Day. I mean, geez. And I have to share with you, I love it when my conservative friends start lighting me up on the text lines. You can join us on the text and phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. John from Milwaukee, appreciate your participation. John says to me that my liberal crocodile tears are deafening. American patriots support the president, and that I'm just another angry liberal woman. I'm not angry, and I ain't crying, John. I've been celebrating all week because the people of the state of Wisconsin have said, no, we don't support the president. We don't support billionaire overlords, and we're ticked off about it. What I'm angry at isn't about liberal or conservatism. It's not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. It's wrong for the president of the United States to use the Department of Justice to extort other elected officials. It's wrong for the president of the United States to extort some of our nation's largest law firms. That's not how this is supposed to work. So I'm ticked off. I'm going to talk about it, but I ain't crying. Definitely ain't crying. And I ain't angry. I'm ticked. I'm going to talk about it, and we're going to do something about it. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, tomorrow across the state of Wisconsin, the hands-off protests are kicking off. They're happening all across the country. Again, we'll put the website link so you can check out what's happening in your neck of the woods in our show notes for today. I'm going to try to make an appearance at the protest that kicks off at the Federal Building in downtown Milwaukee at 12 p.m. tomorrow. So grab your friends. You got nothing to do on a nice Saturday afternoon. Weather looking pretty fine, mostly across the state. Come on down. Tell the government to get, tell not just the government, tell Donald Trump and Elon Musk and the barely post-pubescent boys that populate Doge to get their hands off, their grubby little mitts, off your Social Security, your veterans benefits, your Medicare and Medicaid. And my question to John, my friend, is this. Does anybody you know cash a Social Security check? Do you know any veterans? You know any veterans with PTSD? Does someone you know get Medicare or Medicaid? You okay if those things, that the supports that they rely upon, either to keep them alive or to improve their quality of life, go away? Do you want your 401k to tank? Is that okay? Would it be okay if it was Joe Biden in the White House or Kamala Harris? Because I think you'd be whistling a different tune if that were the case. Let's take a couple calls. You guys want to get in on this action, 855-752-4842. It's 855-75-CIVIC. Mark from Prairie du Sac, how are you, my friend? And what do you have to say this afternoon?
Well, I'm doing fine, and I'm going to the one in Madison tomorrow that there's a similar demonstration in Madison tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to take my Guy Fawkes mask along or my Support Ukraine mask along I may bring both along just in case. And the question I'd ask to John and all these conservatives out there that say the Constitution is absolute, that we're not scooping these people up off the battlefield or anything like that. We're not in an armed conflict with any other nation at all. For them to ignore the constitutional requirement that everybody get their day in court, have due process, and there is just, you know, John, do you hate the Constitution? I mean, that's pure and simple. John, do you hate the Constitution because you are supporting a man who is flouting the Constitution with every breath he takes? I mean, every single one of those prisoners should be brought back to the United States and given their day in court. I mean, because we don't know if they're really gang members or not.
And if they are, Mark, got to jump in here, get a couple more calls in. If they are, then let's go ahead and prove it in court. That's what we have courts for in this country. Patriotism, John, by the way, is the act of questioning your government, your president, your governor, your mayor, when they are violating their oath of office. That is patriotism. Patriotism isn't following a man. It isn't personal loyalty. Patriotism is putting country above individual elected officials. It is respect for the Constitution. Ron from Madison, you're up next, sir.
Hi, this is Ron in Madison. How do we stop what he's doing? We fought a revolution over exactly this kind of thing.
Yeah.
The British were making people disappear, locking them up for civil disobedience, for bringing goods in without paying the tariffs imposed on them. Everything Trump has done has been without congressional authority. I'm not a lawyer, but a simple reading of the Constitution puts most of that authority in the pocket of the legislative branch.
In Congress. Got to hop in here, Ron. First thing, you show up for the hands-off protest tomorrow. Second thing, you make sure that you are registered to vote. We got another election cycle coming up. You make sure your friends know. You introduce them to new sources of information like civic media. And Ron, guess what? Two senators, Chuck Grassley and Ron Paul, oppose those tariffs. Chuck Grassley introducing legislation to try to cut off Trump's ability to impose additional tariffs. Another piece of legislation making its way through Congress trying to remove the president's declaration of an emergency. We're going to come back on the other side. It's time for Ask Maggie, so you can ask questions like Ron just did or whatever's burning at the top of your mind when we come back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.